Time now for Lancer Live. Joining us in studio, Dr. Jeffrey Haas.
Good morning, Goshen County. This is Jeff Haas with Eastern Wyoming College, and excited to be back with you for another week of Lancer Live, a program that is dedicated to talking to our faculty, our staff, and our students, and just hearing about the great things that we have going on at the college. And this morning, very excited to have back in the studio Dr. Leanne Smith. Dr. Smith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dr. Haas.
So, Dr. Smith, you know, you're not new to this community. People know who you are. However, I would like you to just talk a little bit about your background and what you do at the college.
Absolutely. So I've been at the college for 4 years now, and my primary job there is I'm the professor of education. So I teach both elementary and early childhood programs and secondary education programs. And I'm also the leader of the assessment committee, and so I help with assessment and leadership in that capacity.
Excellent. And when you think about, you know, your role, I know you're very passionate about education. You went into teaching, but you're also very excited. You know, in your background, you've had administrative experience.
Yes.
Coupled with teaching. And you bring both of those experiences into the classroom. And I would like you to talk just a little bit why that is important.
That's really important to me because my students are leaders. They will be the leaders of their classroom, and they'll be leaders in their community. So some of the goals that I have for my students will be that they are well prepared to be leaders in their classrooms in the areas of content knowledge and pedagogy. So pedagogy is knowing how to teach methods or be knowledgeable about instructional strategies in their own classrooms. They also need to have technology skills. Our world is changing faster every day in the world of technology, so we really strive to have students graduate from EWC with strong technology skills. And you can have all of the knowledge and skills in the world, but if our students leave EWC and they're not good people, all those skills don't serve them very well. So I want students to leave my classrooms and our halls at EWC being really good citizens that contribute to their communities.
I actually appreciate that statement because character does matter.
And
character is always revealed in times of stress. And I'm very proud to say we have amazing students that come through this college. And our faculty are committed to not just developing knowledge, but developing the whole person and becoming, again, someone who wants to be a productive member of society, someone who wants to demonstrate good values, good decision making. And that's part of when you start thinking about how to prepare to become a teacher, that's part of that process. And I actually hear you talking about some of those things that is really important. And I want to ask one more question before we go on to two special guests that you brought into the studio today. When you start thinking about the number of students, you know, you've touched lives that have come through this program. And can you talk about where some of those students are today?
Well, I'm very happy to tell you that some of those students reach back to me and they talk to me about, I have students in Texas, I have students in Nebraska, and they reach back to me and talk about the lives that they're touching now. And some of those strategies, those skills, and those ethics that we embed in them and their families also help them have, they are passing on to their students now. And a purpose-driven life is really an important thing, and that's what we're able to do. As it's a gift that we're able to offer as teachers, and there's not much more that's important. There's not many things that are more important than that.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. We're all here for a purpose, And I really always hope that people at the end of the day understand that you can make a positive impact on others in life or have no impact. Those are the two options.
Yeah.
I guess it could be a really negative impact.
Right.
But teaching is one of those areas, very much like healthcare. People don't always think of it like this, but there is a little bit of a calling to it that at the end of the day, you're investing in other people that can change lives. And I've worked with many amazing teachers that all aren't certified teachers even. I mean, there are a lot of people in life who are amazing teachers that may not have gone through a teacher education program. That's why what you do is even more exceptional, because at the end of the day, not everybody has that opportunity to just have that exposure to really think about how people learn and move them to becoming, again, a productive citizen so that one day they can earn an income and provide for their own families in the way, right, that they would want to. And all those are critical steps in this whole process. Well, we're going to talk to a couple of guests. And first, we're going to start with Court Bannon. And good morning, Court. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
Good. And can you tell us, where are you from?
I am from Lusk, Wyoming, which is about an hour north of Torrington. So
very familiar. So yeah. Why did you choose to come to EWC?
So, growing up in Lusk, you obviously hear about EWC and you hear about the great things that are happening at EWC. And I was and I showed a lot growing up, so I was very familiar with the EWC showing and judging coach, Georgia. So, and I went and showed with her nieces and nephews, and her daughter. So, got very familiar with them. And so when she offered me a scholarship to go judging and showing here at EWC, it was kind of a done deal.
Absolutely. And that's how exciting, with Dr. Younglove, obviously leads our livestock judging and our show team programs here at the college and also teaches within our agriculture programs. And I'm a big believer because even in those types of activities, there's a lot of teaching that even goes on when you're coaching and training young people. It's all about teaching. And when you start thinking about the skills you gain, so let's just talk about that for a second, and then we're going to talk about your involvement thinking about education programs. Can you just, so what's your lifelong goal when you're done at EWC?
So my lifelong goal that I hope to achieve when I leave EWC is to go and transfer to UW, get my bachelor's degree in agriculture education, and then hopefully go on to Oklahoma State University or Kansas State University to go and complete my master's. And then after that, I hopefully want to find a teaching position here in western Nebraska or eastern Wyoming, or if life takes me down a different path, maybe just go back to the family ranch and go and, continue operations there. And make sure that, it keeps growing and, keeps being successful.
I love the fact you're already thinking 6-8 years down the road. And not everybody thinks like that. And, I had four brothers and we were all had a difficult time just thinking 1 year down the road. So I love the fact that you really are thinking heavily about that future and where you want to go and what type of skills you want to obtain. And I actually really like the fact you're going into ag education because we need more ag educators. It's an important field, and if the agriculture industry is not viable, neither is the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, the production of food and fiber is it's one of those God-given things that we know at the end of the day. It's just the core centerpiece of our society and every society in the world. So, I just think it's great that you're actually exploring that. Now, talk a little bit about the livestock judging, your opportunities there. So what do you think that... when you think about like going out and competing and the type of skills that you're developing, what would you think are the top skills you're pulling out of that type of an event?
So one of the major ones is public speaking with, doing reasons and all that, because you're giving them to a random person. So, you got to be, you got to have those public speaking skills. You got to be able to enunciate your point very clearly and, kind of explain why you did something, like a lot of people in the judging world say, what's the point of placing the class, right, if you can't explain why you did it? So, it kind of helps you back up your points and as to why you did what you did, which is an amazing piece to it.
And I think you just gave that is exactly why we do those types of activities. And, of course, it's important to develop a competency in an animal evaluation. There's a reason we do those things. But that is a lifelong skill that will serve people well, no matter whether they are going into teaching or any other industry. And there's many industries in ag and agriculture that needs those type of decision-making skills. That's outstanding. Next on our program, we will have one of the flagship current technical education programs that have been associated with Eastern Wyoming College for well over 75 years, and that is our Vet Tech program. And we have two special guests joining us in the studio today, starting with Dr. Colleen Mitchell, who is the our lead veterinarian and instructor here within the program. Good morning, Dr. Mitchell. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Dr. Haas. I'm doing great.
So just a little bit, could you just briefly take a moment and talk about your time here at EWC working with the Vet Tech program? And then we're going to talk a little bit about the program structure itself and why this program is here. So if we could but just start on the very front end, let's just talk a little bit about your time and experience working within this program.
Okay, I've been teaching at EWC since 2014. Mm-hmm. And through this time, the requirements for the veterinary technicians is just getting more and more requirements that the students need to perform because the field of veterinary technology is expanding. There are a lot of specialties that our students can continue their education after they're done with EWC, and there is a large need for veterinary technicians in the state of Wyoming and across the nation, and our students just have a lot of opportunities, and we're trying to teach them everything they need to know before they leave here.
Absolutely. So if you could, I'd like you to take a minute just to explain what is the difference between a DVM and then a vet tech, because there may be someone out there that doesn't understand these are two different types of positions in the veterinary field with specific training. But can you just talk about those two roles professionally and why they're structured the way they are?
Okay. A DVM is a doctor of veterinary medicine, and they have an average of 8 years of college, 4 years undergrad, 4 years of graduate school at a college of veterinary medicine. Okay, a veterinary technician is a two-year program, the one we offer it here at EWC. And then we also do offer the veterinary assistant program, that is the veterinary aide is a one-year program. But the difference is between a veterinarian and a technician is the veterinarian is the one who can make the diagnosis, do the surgery, prescribe the drugs. Okay, the technician is the person who actually is providing the treatments, like administering pills, bandaging animals, and that type of thing. So the veterinarian employs the vet techs, and the veterinarian utilizes the technicians so they can save their time for the specialty part that they're trained to do as veterinarians.
So, of course, that the veterinarian as the doctor, the practicing doctor in the room, then would have potential vet techs or other DVMs working under their license and their purview as they actually move forward. Is that a fair way to describe it?
The veterinarians, each veterinarian is under their own license. The vet techs, depending on which state they're in, have their license, but yes, they have to work under a veterinarian.
Very good. And yeah, that's the best way to say it. So as we think about that process, we're in the business here at EWC of training technicians that can support that DVM and doing that critical work. So could you talk briefly, just thinking about the magnitude of, you know, what does a vet tech do on a daily basis when they walk into a practice? And they obviously can't do the work that the doctor conducts, but they're supporting the work of that doctor. What does that work look like? Because it could be anywhere from maybe greeting on the front end and patient intake to working in the surgery room, right, under that doctor. Can you just talk about the types of things that you think are most needed in that industry? What do they do on a daily basis?
In a small animal practice, the technician is frequently going to be the person who takes the animal into the room and doing the physical examination of the animal, preparing the vaccines, getting ready for the veterinarian, taking history, looking at the back records. After the veterinarian has examined the animal, the technician will be doing the blood work that the veterinarian ordered, taking the x-rays, drawing up the drugs, counting out the prescription, and the vet tech is the one who usually is doing a lot of the education of the clients about why we vaccinate for distemper, why we vaccinate for rabies. So a technician does a lot of that work. In the surgery suite, the technician runs the anesthesia and will, in some practices, actually assist in the surgical procedure. And then the technician is responsible for recovery from anesthesia and usually discharging the patient to go home, too. So.
Very good. And that's, and you say that's in a small clinic, and then in a large clinic, does that vary a little bit?
In a, that was in a small animal clinic. In a large multiple practice thing, one technician may just be doing surgery. That may be the whole thing that they do all the time. In a large animal practice, a technician tends to ride out to the country calls with the veterinarian and helps keep track of paperwork. Restrains animals for the veterinarian, runs the chute, it will be tagging animals, that type of thing.
And when, of course, when you're talking about the industry, so a vet tech can really play, or even with the vet assistants, and those are two different roles and even levels, but with any of that training, helping them find the right fit in the right place that these students are interested in working in is all part of that program too. On not only on learning the skills that are essential to succeed, but then, you know, helping place them out in practices is a big part of the program. So can you talk about the type of work experiences students, and I know probably don't call them work experiences, preceptorships, there's all sorts of language that might go in the medical field. Can you just talk about the hands-on experiences students generally will gain in a vet tech program?
Okay. In our vet tech program itself, we have lots of hands-on experience. We do hands-on labs starting for the first semester. And we do require that our students have 8 hours of experience in a vet clinic before they even come in. Then, besides what they learn in our program, they have 3 externships that they do throughout the program where they're actually working in veterinary clinics. They get to choose the type of veterinary clinic they want. So if they're interested in large animal, they can choose a large animal. If they're interested in wildlife, they can choose wildlife. But they actually get hands-on experience in the type of practice they think they want to be in. And we encourage them to think big and go far away if they can and find their little niche where they want to be in their career.
Very good. And we're going to talk to your guests and have you introduce your guests here in just a moment. But one last question. When you start thinking about training for human medicine, you know, a doctor and healthcare professionals, nurses, medical assistants, you know, they only have one species to study. But that's not the case in the veterinary field. And which is a whole nother layer of complexity because we're still talking the same knowledge and ability, but again, about multi-species. Can you just talk about, I mean, how, for you even as a DVM, how challenging was that when you started approaching your schooling, and which I know was just a few years ago, right? So what was that like for you? And then what's that like for your students as they come in and they may be working with things, you know, because they may walk in thinking, well, I'm going to learn how to work with cats and dogs and maybe, you know, cow, you know, steers and pigs. But what does that look like when they find out how diverse that is? And just your own personal experience, and what do you think, what have you seen out of students in your years of teaching?
My personal experience is I worked in a, had animals all my life and worked in a feedlot before I went undergrad and then went to vet school. So I had livestock experience, horse experience, and small animal. I did not have really any experience doing the lab and exotic animals. And back then, ancient days, you know, alpacas and llamas weren't part of our normal practice. Even goats weren't a big deal, you know, 40 years ago. And so the number of species that we work with as veterinarians keeps expanding. The, you know, birds, we did a lot of raptors when I was in Kansas State, but birds are becoming more of a specialty than they used to be. And there are veterinarians who just focus on pocket pets. There's veterinarians who just do birds. So there's a wide range. Here at EWC, in our program, we try to expose them to a lot of different species that we may see. We have a snake. Houdini is our snake that we have. We have guinea pigs. We have the rabbits come in. We have like seven different various species of birds. Students work on chickens, cattle, sheep, horses, the whole range of it. Some of them are very experienced with one species when they come in. We try to get them feel comfortable with all species.
Very good. And of course, that's a whole other challenge because, again, for some students, I mean, this is a very rigorous program and there's a lot of difficult content. And you have to learn more than just, you know, one or two species. So, you know, diseases change, things they have to look for, right? All that has to change. So it's a challenging environment. And so, Dr. Mitchell, if we could, would like to introduce your guest here today. And if you would, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and do that introduction.
Okay. Today I have with me Caden. She is a second-year student. She has worked in veterinary clinics. She worked in my old practice in Shadron that I sold. And she worked for the veterinarian afterwards. And Caden's working in a practice in Scotts Bluff right now. So she is also our president of our Vet Tech Club. And so I'll let Caden go ahead and say something.
Very good. And Caden, what's your last name?
Singpil.
Very good. Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Singpiel.
Just as it spell, mm-hmm. or as it sounds. Yep. So if you would, Caden, if you would talk a little bit about why did you choose the Vet Tech program here at EWC?
So originally I was at Shadron State. I do have a bachelor's in biology. I did want to go to vet med, and then after getting a job for the vet down there, I decided I preferred the tech side of things. So while finishing my bachelor's, I looked around at programs. I had never heard of the Vet Tech program here until my dad mentioned it to me, because he knows some of the employees at the EWC college. So he got me in connection with that, and then I got a walkthrough with Dr. Mitchell, and I really, really enjoyed her walkthrough, how she talked about the whole program, and was really happy with the smaller size, I guess. That's something I prefer, and the hands-on stuff that they did. So,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, of course, tell your dad thank you, and we're really glad you're here. I'm glad he's part of our recruiting team. But I will that is a great way to start thinking about our programs, because not everybody knows what goes on behind the doors of any college. And we have many amazing programs, and Vet Tech, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, has a very long and storied history as far as programs that serve the field of veterinary medicine. In fact, it's one of the first programs that served veterinary medicine in preparing vet techs. So if you could talk a little bit about your experiences inside the program, and what are the things that you have valued the most?
So I think the thing I valued the most within this program is how close we all get with our professors. I mean, we have Dr. Mitchell, Kate Norton, Jamie Michael, Carrie Weaver, and then our animal care specialist, Kelly. And with that small of a group for professors, allows us all to get fairly close with all of them as they teach all of our classes throughout the 2 years that we're here. So I really enjoy the personal connections we get to make with each professor. We get really comfortable going to each professor if we have any questions or concerns. And coming from a large college like Shadron, where we had fairly larger classes and way more professors, I didn't quite get connected with professors like I do here, which I really, really enjoy. And same with all of the students as well. We all, you know, we go from one class to another with each other, and we all build relationships with each other and get really close. So I really appreciate that, as well as the hands-on experience with all of the animals that we have, all of the labs we do, that Dr. Mitchell encourages us to go out and get experience at different vet clinics, zoos, wildlife centers, anything like that. That is one thing that I really, really appreciate about this program.
And then let's talk a little bit about your leadership role within the Vet Tech Club. And can you just tell us a little bit about what that experience is and why you find that valuable preparing for the future?
So with the Vet Tech Club, I first started, obviously as a freshman and getting involved slowly. I did volunteer to be co-chairman of our dog wash, which is one of the things we do for our community. And then from there, the chairman at the time was the president of the club. So I got close to her and close to seeing what she was doing and just really enjoyed what she was doing for the club. And so when time came to pick new executives, I threw my hat in the ring for that and have been very happy with being able to provide all of our services we do for the public, help our incoming freshmen get comfortable in their place, provide them with things to do for the club, and let them know that with this club we do offer experiences, going to see zoos, anything like that, going to the VMX conference. So it's a lot of fun getting kids out there and letting them know what they can do with this program.
That's outstanding, Caden. And can you talk a little bit about the dog wash?
Yes.
And so obviously this is one of the fundraisers. Mm-hmm. And would you just talk about that? And what if someone in the listening audience was interested of bringing their dog in for the dog wash? Because you use those proceeds for very good things. Mm-hmm. So would you talk about what that is?
So our dog wash, we do one every month that we are in school. And with that, we run from about 8 in the morning to usually about 1 in the afternoon, and we call clients or clients can contact us. We usually have them contact the chairman or myself for this year, and we offer baths, blowout, and then nail trim as well. And all of this is done, all of these services are provided by our students and our Vet Tech Club members, and this allows them to get experience talking with clients, making appointments with clients, building a relationship with clients, because a lot of members of the community come back and they really like to support our club, which we greatly appreciate. And then they get experience restraining animals for baths, giving baths, doing nail trims, because that is something that we do almost every day in a clinic. So it gets them a lot of experience with quite a few different things with just one day out of a month. They get a lot of experience that will gain or get them farther in their career.
Outstanding. So if someone was interested, mm-hmm. they said, when is your next dog wash?
Our next one is November 22nd.
So November 22nd. Mm-hmm. And if someone wanted to know how to reach you, yep. since can you provide your number?
Yeah.
Or what's the best way to reach you?
So text or call. With classes, texting is usually better. So they can text or call me at 308-207-5454.
So again, that's November 22nd, and text is the best way to reach 308-207-5454.
Yep.
And so if you would like to come help and support our students as they explore their education here at EWC, it would greatly be appreciated. Funds from these types of fundraisers are used in a number of different ways by the Vet Tech Club. So can you talk about that briefly as we close out this part of our program?
So our funds go towards any supplies or anything that we need, obviously, for our Vet Tech Club, anything like that. We also do have 2 trips for the sophomore or for the freshman. They go to, I think last year we went to the Denver Zoo for the weekend, and they get to tour the zoo and their veterinary side of it. And then sophomores, we have our upcoming trip this January where we're going to go to the VMX conference in Florida. And that is a big veterinary conference with lots of presenters, stuff like that, Zoetis, I'm blanking on all the names now, but a lot of sponsors that come and do this for them. And then we get CE hours or continuing education hours, and we go to presentations, and it can be on a wide range of things, large animal medicine, small animal medicine, specialties, stuff like that. So that allows us to continue our education. All of the funds that we usually get go towards helping our students continue their education throughout the year.
Outstanding. And we're going to have one last question for mm-hmm. Keaton in just a moment, but we're going to go back to Dr. Mitchell. And I would like you to, we're going to end the program just talking about what this program prepares people for. We've talked about the profession. We've talked about where vet techs and veterinary assistants inside the program will serve inside the veterinary clinic. But specifically with VTs, with the vet techs themselves, where they have to complete a two-year degree, they also require some outside licensures in most states. Wyoming's not one of them, but there are many students who may be coming to EWC, like Caden, who end up in Nebraska, that does require licensure. Can you, well, actually, I shouldn't say that, Dr. Mitchell. Does Nebraska require licensure for the VT&E?
Nebraska does.
Okay, so but I would like you just to talk about what this VT&E, the Veterinary Technical Education Exam, and that students leaving this program with a vet tech degree do have to pass that to become certified in most states. But can you just talk about what that process is and why it's valuable?
Yeah, so the VT&E is a national, well, actually Canada participates in it too, exam that allows you to become licensure in, there's like 41 states that accept that as the exam for licensure. And so then you can go to any state of those and be practice as a veterinary technician without any major hoops. So our program prepares students for that test. You can take it when you're in your final semester of your externship. You can actually take that national boards and then be ready to start practice as soon as you've completed your degree at EWC. So we have a really excellent pass rate, ranging between 75 and 90%. The national average is close to 60. And so we're preparing students to work as veterinary technicians anywhere in the country.
And that pass rate is exceptional because when you start looking, and whether it's nursing or vet techs or anywhere where licensure is required, students walking out, CPAs, there's all sorts of state licensures that people need to practice in their field. And so pass rates don't always mean that you're going to immediately be able to go practice. You may have to take the exam multiple times. But when you say that pass rate, that's from the first time that those students are going through and taking that exam.
Yes, that's the first, they take it the first time. We have a huge, most of our students do it. And our students also, I will mention, all get jobs.
Very good. And then finally, and of course, if they don't pass, doesn't mean they can't take it again. But that pass rate really just shows a high success rate coming right out and being able to pass it their first time completing that exam. And that's an exciting thing for EWC. So one just other thought, I would like, if I could, just going back to our student here, just to hear from it, because you won't be a student much longer, because you'll be preparing for the VT&E. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk about the types of things that how you want to approach that whole exam, Caden, and as you think about graduation, or is that just not even on your mind yet?
It's on my mind, definitely. I guess one of the ways I prepare is I have not thrown anything out since I've started. I keep all of our study guide, everything that I get from a class, I keep it. I have a huge tub at home and it all just goes in there organized because I work with a previous student who just passed her VT&E, and that was her thing. She said, keep everything you have and get from a class. As soon as you can get the comps book, which compiles everything you could possibly need to know for the VT&E, get that as soon as you can and start going through that. There are online things that you can take to prep yourself for the VT&E. And then, of course, in our final semester, we have our comps class, which really buckles down on getting us prepared for the VT&E. So I guess for it right now, I've just been, slowly reviewing things as I go. And a lot of our classes are really good about bringing things up from previous classes so we don't, just take it and forget it. So I guess it's just constant repetition is the best way to explain it for for getting ready for that giant test. So
anyone who's had to deal with some of those comprehensive exams can fully understand what you're saying.
Yep.
And Caden, we really want to wish you the best throughout the rest of this year, preparing not only for graduation, but for the VTNE. Again, for anyone that was interested, if you would like to help support our Vet Tech Club, November 22nd is the next dog wash. You can text. You can text Caden at 308-207-5454. And both to Caden and Dr. Mitchell, we're really glad to have you in the studio today to talk about this very critical program for EWC. We believe very strongly in what we're doing here and helping prepare people for their futures. So again, we want to thank both of you.
Thank you, Dr. Huss.
And then I'm going to end on just one final note to Goshen County. EWC Boosters Club launches a beef raffle fundraiser here this week. And Eastern Wyoming College Boosters is hosting a raffle to support student athletes and campus activities, offering participants a chance to win a quarter of the beef processed. And when I say a quarter, that means there'll be four quarters, because there's four quarters to the beef. And those submitting to the raffle have a chance to win any one of those four quarters. But the beef has been generously donated by the EWC Rodeo Club. Special thank you to Coach Peterson, Whit Peterson, for this donation and working with his club and in the Rodeo Club themselves, since they're the ones making the donation. But the processing will also be sponsored by Century 21 Valley Realty. Again, thank you, Century 21, for that support. The steer was finished for 200 days with feed donated by Dinklage Feedlot. And I really want to thank you all. Thank you to all those sponsors. Raffle tickets are $25 each, and four winners will be drawn during the EWC basketball game on February 5th, 2026. Winners do not need to be present to claim a prize. So if you are interested in helping support EWC athletics, tickets can be purchased at all home volleyball and basketball games right at the gate where we're selling tickets, or by contacting EWC Foundation Director Lisa Johnson at 307-532-8304. And for more information, and I'll just say that number one more time, 307-532-8304. Again, call Lisa Johnson or come attend one of our games, and you can help support EWC Athletics by buying tickets for this raffle, again, for a quarter of a beef. So I would like to end on this. All of us at Eastern Wyoming College are very grateful for the continuing support of this community. And as we move forward, we're very proud of the Lancers and what we're doing to help invest in individuals that are thinking about their future. And I could not thank our employees enough for the work they do of investing in the lives of others. So with that, we really want to thank the entire listening audience for KGOS, and just hope that you have a wonderful week. Thank you.